right with God tonight. If you know, the Bible says that the way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, say that with me, no man can go to the Father but through Him. And we come to Him tonight. The beauty about this is that He, with His grace and His love, receive us just as we are. So you don't have to get churchy. You don't have to try to change and get good enough, because you can't be good enough anyway. So just come to God as you are. Say, Jesus, would you forgive me of my sin? And I want to serve you and not the world. I want to follow you and not the devil. I want to live forever and I don't want to live in hell. I thank you for your grace today, Jesus. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you've been raised from the dead and that you are my Savior, my God. You know, if you do that, it's a simple prayer and it's a simple cry, but it has to be a simple, sincere cry to God. And when you do, all of heaven takes notice. You know, the Bible talks about all of heaven rejoices over one soul that comes to know Christ. Can you imagine that? You are a party animal. Yeah, when you gave your life to Jesus, all of heaven got down, man. They were partying. They were excited. And, you know, you had your name up in lights and it was flashing up there. And, you know, and they're still celebrating because God never tires of a son or a daughter that's come home. It doesn't get old to Him. He rejoices over us with great rejoicing. And so we rejoice over you tonight as well. Thanks for coming out on this Thursday evening. It is Thursday, right? That's why we're here, isn't it? Time slips away so quickly. I want to say thank you for the faithfulness of the worship leaders and musicians. Thank you guys so much. I just don't know how to say thank you. Other than to say thank you. You know, I mean, really, I'm so blessed. And their commitment runs deep. And they are very serious about their walk with the Lord. And it shows. And we're just blessed to have such fine musicians and singers. And I don't know. It's just a good thing. I'm just kind of feeling sentimental tonight, you know. So can't help myself, you know. Every once in a while you get like that. My kids always say, Dad, you know what that's a sign of, don't you? I said, don't say it. Well, we're so blessed tonight to have Pastor Norm and Nancy Beetler here. They're all the way from Tennessee, where they have their residence now, and they're here visiting. So we want to welcome them. And so why don't you come up and say hello, greet the people, let us know what's happening, give us a little update. I'd love to hear from you, and it's just nice to see you.
Thank you, brother. Hello, church. I want to tell you I miss you. I really do. We go to a good church, nowhere near this size, but it's a church of God. Good young pastor, does a good job, and we love him. I'm here to do a revival. The Sugar Ridge Baptist Church, I was there last year in October, and they invited me back. I told them they're taking a chance, but they're having me back for a second time. So a week from Sunday, we start a Sunday through Wednesday revival at the church there. We're looking forward to that. It's just great to be a servant of the King. And while I have a chance, let me tell you, do you know that Feast of Tabernacles comes at the end of the third week of September? Pastor was speaking about the coming of the Lord. I am looking particularly at the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Ingathering. Starts at the end of the third week of September. This could be our home going. Are you ready? God bless you.
All right. Well, I thought maybe you're going to preach or something. You never know. So when does the meeting start?
19th.
The 19th, 7 p.m., Sugar Ridge Baptist Church. And it's in Elyria, so you might want to come out one of the nights and support Norm as he's preaching the Word of God. I'll tell you, you're always going to get a good message. Hey, guys, come on in. Good to see all of you, men of God. They meet, you know, all the men meet on Thursday nights at 6:30. So if you're a guy and you want to hang out with the men for a while, they meet from 6:30 to 7:30, and they're in the Word of God. They're in a good book by Tony Dungy, I think it is the name of the book. Let me see that book, and I'll tell them what it is. This one here, Dare to be Uncommon. Dare to be Uncommon, and powerful book, great material. I was in there one night about a couple of weeks ago, and good conversation, good guy talk.
Did you know guys need to talk once in a while? You know, you might as well come with the guys and sit around with them and talk, because when you're at home, you can't hardly get a word in edgewise. Just kidding. So anyway, we want all the men to be a part of this. This is good. Young men, old men, middle-aged men, just be men. Okay, come on in, have a good time. Hey, I want to share with you tonight a couple of concepts that I really have been stirred up about. And I guess the reason why I'm stirred up over it is because the intimacy of the Holy Spirit keeps coming back up in my heart. That, you know, it's all about walking with an intimate walk with Him through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, hey, it's expedient that I go away, that I can send to you the Comforter. You know, it's important that I go so I can send Him. So Jesus said, I can't send Him till I leave. But when I do leave, I'm going to send Him, the Holy Spirit. And He's going to do tremendous things, magnificent things in your life. And so I want to look at that tonight. So go to John chapter 16, verse 5 through 15. John chapter 16, verse 5 through 15. Here's Jesus speaking to His disciples. He says this, but now I go away to Him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage, there it is, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will, what is He going to do? Convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they don't believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Isn't that interesting? You know, sometimes God is silent, and that's a good thing. Because if He would open up His mouth, we're toast. Right? We can't bear it. Sometimes we say, God, please, please speak, God. You gotta say, you don't want me to talk, right? All right. Anyway, that's kind of what He said, right? That's my interpretation of it anyway. He said, He'll guide you into all truth. When the Spirit of truth has come, He'll guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for He will take up what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of mine and declare it to you. Now, we know in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it's a famous scripture. If you're a charismatic Pentecostal of any persuasion in that neighborhood, you're going to know Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And it says, well, you shall receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Now, I am not a proponent of those who say that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit when you have the fruit of the Spirit operating in your life. I do believe that the initial physical sign is speaking with other tongues. However, I believe there are at least five other initial physical signs that accompany speaking with tongues that verify that you've got the real deal. That's a good place to say amen. Okay, so we want to discover that tonight, because you may have the Holy Spirit operating in your life if these next five things are occurring in your life. So we can conclude then, you may not have the Holy Spirit operating in your life if these five things are not operating in a person's life. Now, we've heard from various denominations and teachers that you receive Christ, you receive the Spirit of God. And that's true. We've also heard that there is a subsequent baptism of the Holy Spirit, of the endowment with power. And that is true. But you see, theory is different than practice. And you can have a mental assent or a knowledge of the theory, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you are practicing Pentecostal. And just because you can speak the theory, speaking with other tongues, or debate the theory, does not mean that you have put it into practice. So we want to look at this a little bit tonight about the word power. Here's what it says. Power, in Acts chapter 1:8, not only miraculous ability, but it means this, potential capacity. Now, read that with that in mind. It said, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall receive potential capacity. So God wants to enlarge our capacity for Him. So every day is an enlargement day. Every day is a bigger day with God, or it ought to be, or it can be. So I want to look for an enlargement today in my relationship with the Holy Spirit. But look at this. It also means potential capacity. It also means strength or force actually put forth. So after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall receive power, the potential of capacity, but also this, strength or force actually put forth. You will know that when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, there's something that is releasing from you. Hallelujah. Something is coming from you. It's going forth out of your life. Now, where is it going? Well, it's obviously impacting other people, but it's impacting your world. Wherever you are, this strength and this force is actually being put forth or being released, which is aligning and impacting everything within your sphere. That's why it's important that I have an intimacy with the Holy Spirit, because everything that's connected to me will actually be, will be responsive to, or will be impacted by this power that has come upon my life. So you can't help but be affected by the power that is upon me when you come into proximity with me. So if you're married to a man or a woman who has the power of the Holy Spirit on them, they are going to actually put forth the release of that capacity and that potential and that strength and that force into your life. That's why you want to be around Holy Ghost people. Now, I didn't say culturally Holy Ghost, church Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the real deal. You want people who have paid the price. Now, today I was just casually talking, and this woman didn't even ask if she could pray. You know, some people say, can we pray? She didn't ask. She just started praying. I said, well, I guess we're going to be praying now. She just went to prayer. We were talking about whatever, and all of a sudden she said, now, Father, in the name of Jesus, and she started praying. I said, whoa, that's pretty good. Caught me off guard there. So I bowed my head. I'm praying. I said, yes, Lord, amen and amen. Pretty soon she's praying, and she's getting that, you know, that, ha, Lord, I thank you. Ha, oh, God. And all of a sudden her lip is quivering, and she's starting to cry. Now, we're standing in a public place. She started to cry. Then she's praying. And then it was like one of them prayers, like when my wife says, would you like me to pray or do you want to pray? Now, it depends on how much time I have. If I'm limited, I'll say, look, I'll pray tonight, okay? But my wife, she like prays in chapters. She doesn't pray pages. She prays chapters. She'll go through a chapter, and all of a sudden it's a new chapter. We didn't even talk about that. We're praying about something. We didn't even, you know, it's like another chapter. It's like, where'd that come from? Now we're there. Well, that's how she started doing it today. And before you know it, the Holy Ghost moved into that little meeting, and that potential, that capacity for potential, and that which was coming forth from her began to impact me. I had no choice. I was within the sphere of her release. Do you get what I'm saying? And suddenly, I was being a recipient. I became a recipient of what was on her. We ended up, you know, she finally said amen. Finally. I mean, it was like a long time. Oh, it was, I'm just making fun, but it was a lengthy prayer. She said amen. I went, thank you, Jesus. No, I didn't. I said, okay, amen. And she looked up at me, and her lip was quivering. She said, God is good. I said, amen, he's good. I said, this is a little embarrassing. Everybody's kind of watching us here, you know. But it was the effects of a force that was being released. That's what I want to talk about for a few minutes. See, because I believe when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, there is a manifestation of an ever-present divine personality in your life. Let me say it again. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive potential for capacity, a release of strength and force, ability that is miraculous and supernatural. But it means this, when he comes upon you, there's a manifestation of an ever-present divine personality into your life. It's difficult for me to sin when Jesus is standing here. I mean, it's like, you know, kissing your girlfriend, French kissing your girlfriend with your mom watching. I mean, I'm not going to do that. It's like, Mom, you got get. Could you leave, please? Now, after she leaves, I'm like, okay, let's do this, you know? But when she's standing there, it's like, I'm not going to kiss you with my mom standing here. Right? So it's a presence of the divine personality released into your life. You and I must remember the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it. He's not a mist. You know, he's a person. He's the third person of the Godhead. Now look at Romans chapter 8, verse 16. You have a Bible tonight, or you can look at the screens. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, some versions say testifies or bears witness is to bring forth a witness in the court of law. That's really the Greek understanding. It's to testify. So the Holy Spirit gives testimony of our spirit as being in alignment with God and that we are hooked up as a child of God. Isn't that powerful? So He brings forth evidence. When a testimony is brought forth in court, it's used as evidence to prove either the plaintiff or the defendant, depending upon whose that witness belongs to prove the fact that they are guilty or not guilty, right? So I'm calling forth this witness. And that's the understanding of the Scripture. So when the Holy Spirit will testify or bring forth evidence that we're the children of God. Man, I'll tell you, there are at least six indicators or six testimonies the Holy Spirit offers. Number one. Ooh, are you up for like six of these tonight? Can you do six? Okay, we'll try. John chapter 16, verse 8. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, this is a stumbling block for most modern Christians. The word conviction. What in the world is conviction? True conviction. Here's what it is. It is the first stage of repentance. Repentance cannot be initiated without conviction. Now, what is conviction? It is to convince or prove guilt. Now, what we're doing today is we're living in a society that is guilt-free. No fault divorce. Nobody's guilty. Nobody's at fault. Nobody's doing anything wrong. Everybody's doing great. Everybody's okay. You're okay? I'm okay. Hey, everybody, we're okay. We're living in that kind of a generation. So when we teach the intimacy of the Holy Spirit, and one of the indicators is that He brings conviction, meaning He will bring to the surface through debate and through presentation the fact that we're in the wrong, we have difficulty with that. So we are resisting one of the indicators that the Holy Spirit has come upon us. So in essence, we are resisting the Holy Spirit. We're saying we don't want the Holy Spirit because we don't want conviction. Because that is old-fashioned gospel. That is classical Pentecostal teaching. I grew up with all that stuff. Don't put that bondage on me. This is grace and this is not the law. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Well, in essence, you could go too far in that. And really, you've crossed the line to say, I don't want the power of the Holy Spirit on me. Because when you get the Holy Ghost, you have to get His conviction. How many know that with the Holy Spirit comes conviction? It's because He convicts the world of sin. And it's not just them, it's us too. Look at somebody and say, we're the world. Come on, we're the world. He will convince through fair and sufficient argument our positions that are opposing God. He will convince you. You can't win the debate with the Holy Spirit, so don't try, okay? The only way you can win is to ignore Him. Become dull to your hearing. The only way you can win is when He's talking, you're going, la, 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 I'm not listening. That's the only way you can win. Because if you hear Him, His words and arguments are so sure, you will be under conviction. You can't get out from under it. That's why when the Holy Spirit is present during worship, come on now, we need to have the presence of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because through the auditorium, He is releasing conviction. He's releasing argument. He's releasing a plain text and testifying to the hearts of people through the argument of the Word of God that's being presented that how they're living is not right. How they're thinking is not right. How they're speaking is not lined up with the Word of God. And people during worship are going, oh God, I need to repent of that. Jesus. Because the presence of the convictor is in the room. That's why we have to welcome the Holy Spirit. Because I want to be convicted. I don't want you to give me a license for my lifestyle. Just because you approve of me, I just need to check with the man, okay? I mean, that's cool, but I just need to know, is he cool with me? Say, well, how do you know? You have the Holy Spirit come upon you, and with Him comes conviction. So, as a professing believer tonight, without conviction, might be a person without the Holy Spirit. So if you could live a life of sin and profess Christ, you might not have the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit comes with conviction. And if you can lay in bed with that woman who's not your wife and praise Jesus and speak in tongues, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. You can't do that and have the Holy Ghost. And yet we are giving people license to say in this day and age, it's okay because God understands you need sex. Now, wait a minute, I'm not being far out. That's what we're teaching. We're minimizing the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? What is the nature of conviction? How do you know you're being convicted? A lot of people know, some people don't, but let me ask you this. How do you know when you overeat? It hurts. You go like, oh, you want some dessert? No. I can't take no more. Why not? Because your body is screaming. Tilt, tilt, overload, too much. That's what conviction does. Conviction is like the notification of overeating. It comes naturally to a believer. As much as in the natural, we go, I can't eat another thing. I'd love to get some of that rhubarb pie, but honey, I cannot put that down. If I did that, I'm going to go upchuck the whole thing. I can't do it. Right? It's the same thing. Number two. Are you up for six of these? All right, we'll give it a whirl. We'll try, okay? We'll try. Look at John chapter 6, verse 33. For the bread of life, or the bread of God, is He who comes down from heaven. And He gives life to the world. Everybody say, gives life. Gives life. Jesus said that the Son of Man has come to give life, and that more abundantly. The Zoe life. God came to give us Zoe life. The Holy Spirit is that one that bursts a Zoe life in us. You see, when you have the Holy Spirit, you're going to have life. And when you have more of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have more life. When you have less life, you have less Holy Spirit. So we have to check out our life meter. So if you're on a 1 to 10 scale in the life meter and you're kind of like 3, 4, 3, 4, 5, down 2, 2, 1, 1, you need more Holy Spirit because He's the giver of life. Praise God. It's a very simple equation, okay? But let's look at it this way. Remember Jesus went to the Gadarenes? And He got over to the Gadarenes and there were two men that were naked and cutting themselves. They couldn't chain them. They couldn't rope them. They couldn't hold them back. And they were screaming and they were bleeding and they were all possessed of devils, right? And they came and they confronted Him as the minute He put His foot down on that shoreline. And, you know, we know the whole story of how they got back into their right mind and the whole deal. But where were they living? Do you remember what the Bible says? They were living among the what? the tombs. The tomb is a key word there. Because if you go into the Greek and understand what tomb means there, it literally means this: a memorial to what is either dying or has already died. So they were living in a constant reminder of loss, a constant reminder of decay, a constant reminder, a memorial, a place that always brought to the forefront of their mind that they were a loser. And Jesus came into that and said, you have to be free. Now, notice they tried to bind them. They tried to rope them. They tried to control them and contain them. No natural element, no human effort will ever overpower this spirit of death or decay or loss or regret or bitterness or anger or dying. That whole concept of death rather than life. The only thing that can overpower death is He who has the possessor of life. So we have to have the Holy Spirit in order to have life. So when depression comes upon you, and sometimes depression is circumstantial or it's tied to a tomb, it's a memorial, it's an inscription, it reminds you of some event that brought pain to your life. And every time you visit that tomb, you're reminded of the loss. It's sort of like when people go visit a grave and they go back to see mom or dad or brother or sister. And there's nothing wrong with paying respect to those that have died. But when you go back and you are tormented over the loss of that person, and you begin talking to them as if they're talking back to you, and you begin to live your life around their schedule, and I'll be back tomorrow before the sun sets, sweetheart. There is a death spirit that has grabbed hold of you. And that's only the illustration I'm using, that also this tomb concept that controls our life, when we're supposed to have life and more abundantly, we're walking around with a depressed, heavy, sad, defeated, beaten up spirit. And the only one that can defeat that is the Holy Spirit. We must have the giver of life. John 20, verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life. Now notice, He's talking about death. He said, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead. Where was Jesus? In a tomb. He was in the place of loss, the place of defeat, the place of conquered. As they thought, right? Death always associates with defeat. The road to Emmaus, the two disciples, they figured it out. He was in the tomb. It's over. Let's go back. Let's leave here. Haven't you heard what's happened back in Jerusalem? Jesus, our Savior, He has died. He's crucified. He's dead. It's over. Forget it. Peter, John, come on. Let's go fishing. We're going back to what we used to do because this didn't work out. It's died. That's what it says. The Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from that, if it dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead, that will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit. He'll also raise you from the dead. He'll also redeem what was lost. Redeem all your wrong. Redeem all the pain. Redeem all the conquering of the sin in your life. Redeem every regret. Redeem every depressed time and moment in your life. He will redeem it because He is the Redeemer. But you cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who gives life. So here's what we can conclude. A professing believer without the God life, a conquering God life, may be a person without enough of the Holy Spirit. You may not need counseling. I need counseling to get out of this depression. You don't need counseling. You need to get up into an upper room and wait on the Holy Spirit and let Him breathe into you the Spirit of God. Amen. Allow Him to have a work in you, to foster it, to develop it, to mature it. that whole relationship with Him. Number three. I like this one. John chapter 16 and verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, what will He do? Say it with me. He will what? Guide you into what? All truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. That's a pretty powerful verse. That's a pretty powerful verse. And here's what I believe a person who the Holy Spirit has come upon them and increased their potential for capacity and released the flow of God's strength and power out of their life and walking in miraculous ability. That's what it means when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So not only would that happen, but it'll happen for the fact that you live under conviction. You can't steal. Every time you try to, the Holy Spirit says, we don't do that here. It's like your mother's watching. You can't not French kiss her in front of your mom. It's a divine personality's presence. Do you get what I'm saying? That's what the whole idea of with the Holy Spirit coming upon you. It's like the manifestation of a divine personality. Wow. God's walking with me? So I'm trying to steal at work. Can't do it. Everybody else around me, they can do it. I'm thinking, God, why can't they do it? And I can't do it. God, let me get away with it. And when the moment He lets you get away with it, soon as it happens, you say, God, why'd You let me get away with that, God? He said, He'll never let me get away with that. Look at how I messed up my life. Oh, God, I'll never do it again. But that's not my point. The point is, he who has the Holy Spirit is a fast learner. When you have the Holy Ghost coming upon you, you don't need to be told over and over again. Why? Because He's a teacher. How many know He's a good teacher? You know what a good teacher is? A good teacher is a person who is able to communicate truth and for the students to receive it and actualize it. In other words, I just don't teach you math. I teach you the concepts around math that will give you the ability to solve any problem that math will present to you. That's a good teacher. I'm not just trying to get you from the third grade to the fourth grade. I'm trying to impart to you concept that will help you solve any math problem you'll ever face. That's what the Holy Ghost does. So the Holy Ghost is a teacher. And if you're a slow learner, you've been skipping class. Hookie. This is not Seniors Day. We have no Seniors Day in the church, okay? You can't hang out and go to lunch at Burger King when you ought to be under the tutelage of the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom strategies come through the Holy Spirit. We had a situation come up this week and very challenging. I mean, it could be very stressful, the challenges that come to your life, right? We're all under those stressful times. You know, I have a particular self-imposed line where I said, by this date, this has to happen. So, you know, I had to order this sign. That's a simple thing. I want a sign that says, Church on the North Coast. And I want it white. And they deliver it and put it up, and it's royal blue. Royal blue? Who ordered royal blue? Now, you could either look for somebody to blame or consult your teacher for a strategy. Slow learners look to point the finger. You idiot! Not you personally. No, Eric, I don't mean that personally. Didn't you order the right sign? I can't tell you. You guys, I'm telling you, we met over this. Show me the order. Who made the mistake? They're paying for this. And your blood pressure is going up and up and up. Or you can say, I'll be right back. Hey, teacher, give me a concept to solve this problem. So up on the scaffolding they went with a can of special white paint and we painted the royal blue letters white. Didn't take 6 more weeks to get them in. Didn't fire anybody. Say praise the Lord. Didn't fire anybody. Use it as an opportunity to teach them how to double check things. Because when you were that age, you were probably that anyway. You know what I'm saying? Huh? You know what I'm saying? So you're a teacher too because you got the teacher in you. So you're not a punisher. You're not a chastiser. You're a teacher because a teacher is present. See, some of us as men, all we know how to do is yell at our kids. You haven't taught them to put anything away. You haven't modeled it, but the Holy Ghost is a model. He is a teacher. And I'm a fast learner. So I knew that in this circumstance, what I need to do is tap in to the Holy Ghost teacher. What do I do, Lord? He said, get some paint. You can't paint plastic. He said, yeah, you can. Call up the company and ask them. Sure enough, there's a certain kind of paint that will adhere to that. And there's a certain preparation that you could do. And 2 days later, they're all white. But it's a kingdom strategy. I don't know what you have facing you today that you don't seem to have an answer to. But let me tell you something. Your teacher knows the concept to solve the problem. It's just math. Look at somebody and say, it's just math. Don't be intimidated by math. Math is simple when you know the concept. When you know the formula, bring on the problem. Let me know what I'm talking about. Sleeping in class, you didn't get the formula. Now you want to look over at my paper. I ain't helping you. All right. The disciples learned quickly, you know that, when the Holy Ghost came upon them. How do we know they learned quickly? Because they got a shadow ministry going. How do they know to do a shadow ministry? Because the Holy Ghost taught them. They didn't have to go to shadow ministry Bible college. I mean, I'm serious. You know, we've got this thing down like you got to go to everybody's Bible college and learn how to operate in the kingdom. Why don't you just sit at the feet of a teacher called the Holy Ghost? He will teach you all things. Matter of fact, doesn't the Bible say something about you have no need of a teacher? Better not go there because I think I'm teaching tonight. Don't need no preacher. I don't know. They learned that there was a shadow ministry. They learned that they were supposed to multiply and not decline. They learned they were supposed to go into all the world and not stay in their own four doors. They learned that. How? Because the teacher told them. They learned quickly. So, as a professing believer, if you're a slow learner, you might be a person without a teacher. Number four. John 16:14 reads this way. Is everybody okay? I'm not stressing you out, am I? Okay. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Did you know that you glorify God when you get revelation of who he is? When you get it, you make him look good. In other words, when all the class passes and we all get A's, they're coming in giving the teacher an award. It's like, wait a minute, I got the A. I did the homework. I got the revelation. No, when you get the revelation, he gets the glory. Because he's the teacher. I love that. I say, I want to glorify God. Then get it. So we get revelation. That's John 16:14. He takes from the Father and he gives it to us through the Holy Spirit. It reveals God the Father's secrets. He reveals the secrets of God that have been kept hidden for generations, millennium. He has kept them secret. And those of us who have the Holy Ghost come upon us, we get to know what those secrets are. He reveals them. He also reveals to us his character. He lets us know what he likes. Cream, sugar in your coffee? Do you drink it black? In other words, he reveals his intimacies that only friends will ever get to know. How does God take his coffee? Some of you didn't even know he drank coffee. I happen to know he does. And I know how he likes it. Just being funny. The point is, his character. It is to be revealed. And it's for our understanding. So a professing believer, ignorant of God's will, could be a person without the Holy Spirit. Number five, Romans 8:26. I really like this one. Matter of fact, kind of like them all. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. Now, there you go. Every one of us is qualified because we all have weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So in other words, the Holy Spirit pinpoints our weaknesses. He pinpoints our weaknesses and He makes it a strong point. Wow, where I was weak, I'm now made strong. And people say, well, how did you do that? How did you overcome that nicotine addiction? I said, well, you know, I didn't do it. It was the Holy Spirit that did it. Because He is one that recovers all. You see, I'm in a search and recovery mission mode. I'm in a constant recovery mode because I have to tell you that in my life, the devil has stolen from me more than once. Has anybody ever had anything stolen? Your personal integrity, maybe your confidence, maybe your self-worth. Have you ever had anything stolen? Have you ever had anything ripped out of you by mom or dad or spouse or best friend? Have you ever been betrayed? Have you ever had anybody walk out on you? Stolen. And you know, the thing about it is the devil only comes to steal, stolen, kill and destroy. So you recover today, guess what? He's sneaking in the back door and stealing again. It's like, devil, how come you just don't quit? He said, I can't help it. That's all I know. It's what I do. I'm a thief. So you get it back. Guess what? I'm coming tomorrow night. And when you're not looking, I'm going to take it again. So here, the Holy Ghost is a recovery ministry. I want you to know I'm recovering. Now, I haven't had a drink of alcohol since I've been born again. Well, no, that's not true. I did drink alcohol after I was first saved. I didn't know you weren't supposed to. I got saved, and I was in a bar, and I'm drinking, you know, some Stroh's beer or something. I'm drinking, and Tina and I were talking about the rapture. We said, wow, that was a great sermon Sunday, and, boy, you know, this thing about heaven and stuff is really cool. And I said, you want another beer? She goes, yeah, I'll take another beer. So we got another beer, and we're sitting there drinking, and then she said, do you think we ought to be doing this? I said, I don't know. I said, is this right or wrong? I mean, what? I mean, it's just beer. I've been drinking beer all my life. And the Holy Spirit said, conviction. Let me explain to you why you shouldn't do this. And he began to do it. Why? Because the Holy Ghost had come upon me. Because when he comes with conviction. He presented an argument that I couldn't debate. It's an amazing thing. I was still smoking after I was saved. And then one day, Holy Spirit said, why don't you just put those down and give the money you were spending to missions? I said, God, that's a lot of money. I can't give all that money to missions. $5 a pack? They're $5 a pack, aren't they? If you're smoking here, it's $5 a pack. Is that right? Yes, no? Something like that. $5 a pack. You buy two packs a day, that's $10 a day. I don't know if there's a person in here that gave $70 to missions last Sunday. Just go like this. Ouch. Yeah. I don't mean to hurt you. I'm just trying to relay the issue. What we're willing to sacrifice for our own fleshly appetite. What was I bringing up for? Oh, recovery. I'm a recovering alcoholic. I would drink a case of beer a night. No problem. I could drink 24 bottles of beer and still talk. Slurred. Yeah, didn't make much sense. And I could still walk. But the point being, Jesus, through the Holy Ghost, recovered my life from the addiction of alcohol. So I am literally, I'm still a recovering alcoholic. You say, well, Pastor, now that gets out. People are not going to come to the church because they don't want to sit under no former alcoholic. Well, the key word there is former. I'm a recovering drug addict. I'm a recovering self-serving man. Now, you don't want me to give you everything because I don't want you to see everything. But I'm a recovering everything. Right? Because I got the Holy Ghost. He's recovered all. Just like he told David at Ziklag. He said, pursue, overtake, and recover all. There's not one thing the devil has stolen that you can't get back. You can get back your joy. You can get back your love. You can get back your marriage. You can get back your money, your integrity, your self-worth, your purpose. You can get back your right mind. Come on, shout hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Yes, you can. Give somebody a high five. Say, yes, you can. God help me. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God loves weakness because he gets strong and he shows himself strong. So I just feel so weak and so broken. Good, you're a good candidate. God loves messes. He makes miracles out of them, right? He takes cracked things that normal people throw away and he repairs them. And he just doesn't turn them back and put the crack up against the wall. He actually causes the crack to be healed as if it was never there. He recovers all. Hebrews 11:34 said, they quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Can I tell you where you're going? Do you know where your destiny is taking you? You are becoming strong. You're becoming valiant in battle. You are turning the flight of the armies of the aliens away. You are conquerors. Matter of fact, more than conquerors. We are the head, not the tail. We live up and not down. We go in wherever God says to go in. We are the body of Christ. Amen? So we've got a lot of victory in ahead of us. So don't hang your head. Amen. Because we got the Holy Ghost on us. Now, professing believers succumbing to the weaknesses might be a person without the Holy Spirit. Don't get the poor me syndrome. You got to get some fight in you. You can't be blaming everybody. Sometimes we just like to blame game. Well, if it's my parents, you know, my parents, they did this to me. My parents did this to me. All of our parents did junk to us. My parents didn't know any better. My dad was a third grade educated immigrant. What did he know? Nothing. He just knew how to work hard. He knew how to love me. He didn't know how to communicate it to me. He didn't know how to support me. He all knew how to judge me and tell me what he thought. And my mother was a fifth grade educated woman. Grew up on a farm. She didn't know anything about that whole family stuff and God. I didn't raise in a... Get over it. He said, well, I'm the middle child. I'm the middle child. I'm the middle child. Middle child. My older sister, my younger brother. I'm the middle child. I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. I was born over there with all them poor people. We all have to walk to school. We didn't get no designer jeans like they all did. I laughed at it in school. Get over it. You're not there now. Look what God's done for you. You're becoming valiant in battle. You're becoming strong in the Lord. Your weakness, you're becoming strong. Why? Because the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I've had to deal with this in my own life, this whole rejection thing. You know, mom and dad, you know, not married and had sex. Mom got pregnant. Here I am. So now, what are they going to do with him? Well, thank God they didn't abort me. Back then, I don't even know if they knew about abortion. The whole family thought I was the B child. They didn't want to talk to me, rejected me, didn't want to look at me, spit on the ground, walked away, turned her back on me, put a rejection spirit in me. Get over it. Where I'm weak, then I am made strong. You got to look for the strength in your weakness. Why? Because the Holy Ghost does it. You can't do it. I can't do it. But God can. Shout, God can. I said, shout, God can. Yes, He can. And that's what Hebrews 11:34 says. Then you turn the flight of the armies of the aliens. There's some alien stuff in church. There is. Aliens. I mean, weird stuff. Weird stuff in our city. Weird stuff on the TV. Weird stuff in all radios. Weird stuff. Turn the flight of the armies of the aliens. That's enough on that one. I didn't mean to go that far. But number six. I like this one. Did you ever go to a sports event and say, this is our house?
Right.
You ever see that? Not in our house. In other words, you're going to come in here? This is our house. You ain't whooping us here. You might whoop us on your field, but this is our field. Hoo-ah, right? You ever see that? It's like, not in my house.
Right.
That's what the Holy Ghost will do. Make a Holy Ghost will take the chicken right out of you.
Right.
Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. We used to have t-shirts like that for our kids when they were little. Little thing of a chicken on their shirt and said, the Holy Ghost, take the chicken right out of you. Make you bold as a lion. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So you got to look at the devil, look in the mirror sometime, even tell yourself and say, not in this house. This house is God's house. Ain't nobody coming in here and going to mess on God's house. You hear me? You got to get an attitude. You got to start facing down your enemy. You got to stand your ground. You got to look at the enemy and say, no, not on my watch. I got the Holy Ghost. I got God. I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Not in my house. Not in my city. Not in my family. Not in my marriage. Not in my money. Not in anything. The purpose is for the service of God. The residence of God is for the service of God. I want to serve God. I want to serve Him. Well, what does that mean? It means I want to be a person that lives with the sensitivity conviction. I'm going to err. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to make poor judgments because I'm human just like you are. But I want the Holy Ghost to say, hey, Lou, we need to talk about this. You need to go back and apologize to Tina. You need to call your son. You need to tell your daughter this. You need to go over to that person in your church. You need to call that pastor. You can't be acting like that because I'm a convictor. And I'm just going to debate with you right now. If you're willing to debate, you want to debate it? I said, no, God, I don't want to debate it. So then make a call. Okay. Right? Because I want to serve God. How do you serve God? By submitting to conviction, which is the first step of repentance. And what does repentance do according to Acts chapter 3:19? Brings times of refreshing. You want to be refreshed? Repent. But you can't repent without conviction. You can't have conviction without the Holy Ghost. I'm so dry. I just feel so far, far from God. You need a time of refreshing. But you have to have repentance. Does that make sense?
Yes. Amen.
All right. Y'all looking at me like you're kind of weird. It's okay. I'm good with it. I'm good. I'm secure who I am. Not in this house, okay? You know, I'm going to dog you out. That's okay. Say what you want. I'm still going to whoop you. All right? I used to love old Cassius Clay, man. He changed his name to Muhammad Ali. Remember him? Blow like a butterfly, sting like a bee. I mean, that was just cool. He was in your face. It was like he was in your head before you got in the ring. He's like, this is my ring. You made a mistake coming in this ring. I'm going to knock you out. I'm going to take you out in the third, no, fourth. I'm going to let you go play for three, and then I'm going to knock you out in the fourth. That's how he would talk. He was crazy. But most of the time, guess what? He did it. I don't know if he talked himself into it or talked his opponent into it. I don't know what. But he had an attitude. You got to get God with an attitude. Not in this house. This is the kingdom of God. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives inside of me. A professing believer that is constantly defeated is a person that may be without the Holy Spirit. So I share with you tonight just six, which I believe is evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's more than just a theory that you can repeat, a babbling that you can learn, or even a conduct and a morality you can achieve. It goes beyond that. Because if it's anything we can do ourselves or learn, then it's not God. Because we are utterly and totally dependent upon His Spirit coming upon us. And it's by His grace that He does it. God, I'm not worthy for Your Holy Spirit to take residence in my life. But I welcome You tonight.
Yes.
You remember that song, John? Welcome into this place. I don't know if that's the key, but whatever. We'll figure that out. Welcome into this broken vessel. You remember that? You desire to abide. Do you all remember that? Okay, help me with it because I don't remember the words. So I lift my hands and I lift my voice as we offer up praise unto your name. Something like that. Come on, let's stand and do it to him right now. Let's sing it to him. Welcome into this place. Oh, welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift our voice as we offer up unto your name. Now we got it. Come on, sing it again. Welcome.
Welcome into this place.
Come on, in your own heart, tell him, welcome.
Welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide in the praises of your people. So we lift our hands and we lift our hearts as we offer up praise unto your name.
I think you got it now. Come on, one last time. Oh, welcome.
To this place.
Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, come on.
Welcome into this broken vessel.
Oh, you desire to abide in the praises of your people.
So we lift our hands and we lift our
so we lift our hands.
So we lift. Offer up this praise unto your name.
Now, right where you're standing, would you close your eyes with me for a moment and just talk with the Holy Spirit? Invite Him into your life that He would come and bring conviction, that He would teach you all things, that He would be a recovering Holy Spirit. Come on, just ask Him right now to manifest in these six ways in your life. Lord, I need You for that in me, God. I don't want to walk out of here, Father, with an insensitivity to Your voice, but I want to walk, oh God, with a clearly communicated prayer, and that is, God, that I would walk intimately with You. Holy Spirit, I want You to come, and I want You to abide in me, and I want to walk with You. And I want You to walk with me. I welcome that divine personality into my every area of my life, into my every part of my life. And I thank You for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let me ask this question while your heads are still bowed. You might be here today, and we talked about salvation when we first started this meeting, about going to heaven and being ready. I don't know that you are or you're not. You know, that's between you and God. And only a man will answer for his own salvation. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. The Corinthians tell us that even those that know Christ will stand before Him at His bema judgment. And we will give an account for how we lived our life as a Christian. But tonight you may not know Christ. You may not have ever received Him as your personal Savior. Can I tell you that God has a big plan for your life, has a great plan for your life, and I want you to know it. And you can only know it through the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit can't meet with you and talk with you until you receive Christ. Jesus is the way, and the Holy Spirit will come when you receive Christ. So with every head bowed, you'll say, Pastor, I need Jesus as my Savior. Would you pray for me? I need to make Him the Lord of my life. If that's you, lift your hand high enough that I could see it so I could pray for you tonight all over this room. I don't want to miss an opportunity that there may be one person who needs that prayer. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Elders, would you come? Altar ministers, spread yourself across the front of this hall. And those of you that need prayer, agreement prayer, we'd like to agree with you and touch and agree. Believe God for everything in your life, okay? So if you have a need, bye. We want to stand with you. So don't be afraid to come at this time. Please make your way to the front for physical healing, emotional touch, spiritual needs, baptism, the Holy Spirit, whatever God's touching your life and drawing you to, we want to be in support of that. We love you. We really do. We're praying for you every day. This is a great week. Don't miss it. It's going to be a great weekend. Boy, maximize it. Celebrate God every day of your life and celebrate the people that are in your life with lots of love. So live right, love everybody, pray hard. We'll see you next time. God bless all of you. Good night.